Tom, if you were to play baseball, what position would you play? You're running out of time here.
Truthfully, here's what I would do. If I would play baseball, the position that I'd probably have to play would be... I'd want to play would be like a center fielder.
You want to play center field?
Well, just because here's the thing is...
Look at me.
I'm right in the middle.
You want to be right in the middle?
Right in the middle of everything.
Okay.
You'd have to look at me.
What if you're shifted, though? Then you wouldn't be right in the middle.
No, you're right, but...
You'd be in the middle of the left fielder and the right fielder.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's quite a bit of running, but really...
They just hit the ball right to you.
And that's the only way you really get on SportsCenter in the summer months is by some sweet web jam catches.
Yeah, that's true.
The only fucking baseball.
That's why you wait until it's too late, and then you go at the last minute. Yeah, so you have to dive for it.
Yeah, yeah. I like to dive. I'd like to just jump out at
volleyball.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, baseball's back, people. Let's play ball. Opening day was yesterday, and on to the next topic.
Yeah.
That's about enough baseball talk.
You're not going to get a whole lot of baseball talk.
Actually, we do have a couple things to talk about baseball. So, Dom, why don't you go into what you don't like about, baseball.
Well, what I don't like about baseball and sports in general is the idea of these dumbass forced traditions that we have to do. And the biggest one that came into my mind was Sweet Caroline, because nobody knows the goddamn words because of how popular it was at – you know, the Red Sox games, it's played everywhere.
It's the only place it's acceptable is in Boston.
But even still, that's something like, I can't stand it.
Yeah, but if you're watching a Bruins game, they'll play it there and like the whole crowd gets into it. Because
they play it at the Avs game.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's only acceptable in Boston. It's like, well, that's the only place that people get riled up for it. Every other place, people fucking hate it.
I just don't like you telling me what I have to do. And I think baseball does that all the damn time.
Yeah.
They have their dumb traditions.
Yeah, I'm gonna call the next dumb tradition the seventh inning stretch.
Also another baseball
thing. Yeah, that's very forced. And do you know the roots of the seventh inning stretch, Tom?
Hang on. We looked it up earlier, and I forgot, and I like
that. It was William Taft, wasn't
it? William Taft.
He got up in the seventh inning stretch to stretch his legs. So
that's it.
Now there's a designated time at the two-thirds of the way in the game. I think that's when they stop serving beer, so everyone gets up to go get beers, and that's them stretching.
Taft, that's 100 years. That's over 100 years of us doing the same goddamn thing because some asshole stood up in the middle of the game.
Dave, you've already had 6 beers. I'm just going to go for a stretch. Go gets before last call. That's the seventh inning stretch.
Friend who you're like, hey, maybe you should cut it off. And you're like, well, yeah. I'm just going to go walk it out.
And I think another forced tradition is you have to get a beer. I mean, there's a time if you want to get, you know, drunk at a sporting event, go for it, get after it. But I hate, like, I've always been in the habit of like, you go and you just buy, like, you have to buy a beer, like beer, like you got to buy something.
I spent $70 on beer.
It's not worth. And did you even get tipsy?
On beer. No, because I drank before the game.
Well, that's what I try to do. Yeah.
I drank a little bit before the game.
That's why I drink before the game, is because I don't want to go buy 7 beers for $100.
It's insane.
Coors Lights, I should say.
Right. Not even good beer.
Yeah. So the last tradition I think is pretty ridiculous is at every sporting event I think that I've ever been to, except for golf, the kiss cam.
Kiss cam.
And I don't know if I love or hate that there's like 6 different options for the kiss cam to choose from, whether it's like, okay, it's a couple, but they're gonna put the girl with another guy that's not a part of the couple, and it's gonna be awkward. Seen that about 1500 times.
I mean, at least you could do it like the like Ron Burgundy and start kissing a burrito.
See, that's original. I don't know, man.
It's original because he's dressed up and he's got a mustache.
But they also handed him a burrito and milk. Like, he didn't like bring the burrito. They literally just gave him a burrito
and then
gave
he kept
him
talking about the
milk.
Kiss cam. I don't think it was planned at all. I think that
once
they heard
once
it
he talked
like,
about the
oh
kiss
God,
cam, they're
we
like, yeah,
it.
We're putting him on the kiss cam. But no, I'm talking about like if they get put on the kiss cam and the dude just like goes for it and like tries to be all over, or they classically award the kiss cam winner to an old couple.
It's like it's just like a gross
old every time. Well, it's kissing. Not gross, but it's just like,
no, if I'm an old guy,
just a little packet, like, no. Oh, that's adorable. They're old.
If we're 80 and we're at a game together, I am licking her face. She's not gonna like it, but I'm licking
your
her tongue's
face. Gonna be so dry. It's gonna be like a cat licking the side of her face.
Make it
it's all hairy, dry, like hairy, dry tongue. For you.
I love watching the video of it's a kiss cam where you could tell it's totally staged, but it's a couple and a girl behind them, and the girl that's kissing the guy has her beer and drops it over his shoulder right in the girl's like lap, and you could tell it's all staged, but you're like, it's all for a laugh.
Yeah, or yeah, when they stage it and just. She slaps him. He's not paying attention. He's on his phone. She slaps him and walks away.
How do you feel
about
getting proposed to, like proposing during a game, a kiss cam?
I'm not even going to approach that.
Okay, we'll move on. So that's not how you're going to do it to Nikki?
No.
All right. Other fun things that are forced and I think kind of ridiculous. And, you know, I talk
March
about
Madness
how much
bracket.
I love March Madness, but March Madness brackets, I hate that guy.
They're forced. As soon as my office bracket came around, I'm like, I don't literally
feel
like I might as well just hand you $20 and not do it regardless.
I'm not going to win.
Yeah.
I feel like I've honestly got better odds. You have better odds winning the Powerball than you do getting all 16 from the Sweet 16 correct.
Oh my God.
You have better odds of winning the Powerball.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And I didn't watch a single game of college basketball. I don't have cable. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that before. But I just don't have cable, so I don't get college basketball, so I don't know who's good. And, you know, I'm at the point where it's just like somebody's mom. I literally said, like, who's hot? You know, who's the best-looking dude on the court? Let's go with them. Like, who? Like, I kind of want the Anteaters to win. I want UC Irvine to go. I did say I was rooting for the Titans and the Anteaters because it's Fullerton and Irvine.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So I'm like, okay, well, at least I've got some homerism in me.
That's the thing. My sister-in-law asked me, like, are you rooting for Texas Tech? Why?
Why?
I don't give a shit. I didn't go there. And that's the other thing. Is like,
just because she's from Texas?
Well, because she went to Texas Tech.
Oh.
But, like, we went to a small private school that doesn't have big-time sports. I have no rooting interest in this tournament.
Whoa, JWU women's basketball went all the way, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
I think they got, like, 45 points one time.
Yeah. You know, you played golf intramurally.
Yeah.
I sat on the bench of a volleyball team.
Yeah.
So it was
fun. That's what we did.
I don't have any rooting interest, and I think the entire thing is dumb. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's really cool that we get to skip work for 2 days and watch basketball straight.
Yeah, I will say it's really cool that I got to put up a projector in my work on Friday and watch college basketball.
But I think it's dumb that everybody pretends like they know what they're talking about and they're pumped for it for 2 days.
Yeah, but that's also fantasy football.
Oh my God, yeah, that's
true.
It's
the exact same thing as fantasy football. It's like everybody knows everything. It's literally all they want to talk about, like when it's going down, is like their fantasy points. Yeah,
it's
a little overwhelming, people.
It's how we measure each other up now, is like how your fantasy team is doing.
Yeah. Oh, you were last place? Like, ooh.
You got a tattoo on your ass because
you didn't play? We're not friends anymore.
Right. That's pretty much it. That's where I am. I felt real heated about it when I was writing this out earlier and I was talking to Matt, but I'm less heated now.
I still think it's dumb. I'm kind of happy because I was like, fine. I was like, I might as well play. Like, it's in the spirit of it. Everyone else is playing. It's whatever. It's $20. And then after the bracket's locked, I went to go look at my bracket and realized I never submitted it.
So you literally just gave up $20?
I hadn't paid him yet.
Okay.
But I was like, well, too late. Sorry. Guess I'm going to keep my $20.
The best thing about college basketball, though, is it's in like that perfect time where – you know, everybody needs something to be excited about sports wise, and they don't have anything yet. You know, like you do have hockey starting, like getting to playoffs. You've got basketball getting to playoffs, but you don't have anything in between, which is kind of dumb.
I mean, are we getting into the spring?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. So I saw a picture that like CBS posted on Instagram or Twitter or something like that, and it listed off the best sports of spring. What is your best spring sports moment? And it was, you know, the Masters, basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs, start of baseball season, I think it didn't even say the start of baseball season. It said spring training.
Oh God.
Okay. Fuck off.
That's just because people like to go get throttled at spring training.
Yeah. If I get to go to Florida, Arizona and just drink.
Yeah. We're cool, just going to go watch. We're not going to watch the baseball. We're just going to go to a warm weathered state and drink hard.
Right. The men's college basketball tournament, women's college basketball tournament, which honestly, we went to a women's college basketball game during the tournament. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I remember that. It was CU versus Kansas, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was awesome.
I remember that.
And then the NFL draft, which Yikes. Made me laugh because it's not even a sport. But it still dominates. Like Gronkowski announced his retirement on the
Who
Friday.
Cares?
Well, I care. But he announced his retirement on the Friday of March Madness.
He's a robot anyways.
And it was trending everywhere.
Yeah, it was more popular than March Madness.
It's dumb. Not even playing. Not even a sport.
For me, my favorite spring moment is NHL playoffs for sure. And a close second is the Masters. There's nothing like Sunday at the Masters. But I will say, I think my favorite time of year is fall for sports. Granted.
Why is that?
Up and above hockey playoffs, above everything. Why? Because I've been deprived of real sports the entire summer. And I've been having to watch just baseball game after baseball game. And who knows where they're in the standings because there's fucking 162 games per team. And it's like,
still last season, the Rockies had to play an extra game. So the whole fucking season didn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And they still had to play 163.
Come on,
which, and so in the fall, that's when baseball gets exciting. So I get excited for playoff baseball because that's the only time I like baseball.
Okay.
And then hockey's back.
Right.
Football's getting into the swing of things.
Right.
I mean, if you're a basketball fan, basketball's getting started. So I'm just so much more excited for that time of year. But I do think the events are better in spring. I think it's just overwhelming.
You're right. There are better events in the spring.
But I get more excited for the fall because I've been deprived of everything else.
God damn it. Ooh. I did find out today, though, that we start playing volleyball again in May 1st. So I got real pumped about that.
I kind of want to play with you guys.
You can come drink with us and play with us. I don't care.
I'll sub
Wednesday nights.
Let's do it.
All right, Matt, who's winning the Masters?
I don't know, man. I kind of think Matt Kuchar is going to win it. And I placed my bet before this whole Matt Kuchar and his caddy thing happened.
Okay.
So
does that make you more or less confident?
More confident.
Okay.
Because I think a dark horse usually wins the Masters. It's never like the favorite. You know, Jordan Spieth obviously went wire to wire, but like Jordan Spieth's not even in the top 10 anymore. He hasn't been playing. He's not Jordan Spieth right now.
I wouldn't say fluky year for a fluky couple of years for him, but I mean, that was definitely
than a sophomore slump, but like he came out hot at the gate, showed what he can do, and now he's dealing with he's starting to struggle. He's dealing with being a pro.
Right.
And so, I don't know. I kind of like Matt Kuchar because you have like the villains that like, I think like Patrick Reed last year, nobody liked Patrick Reed.
Sergio Garcia.
Like the last couple of years have been dark horses, and Matt Kuchar has been playing well. He won that tournament and cheaped out his caddy. So I don't know. I haven't been watching.
It's definitely not going
to
be Tiger.
I haven't been watching a ton of golf, I'll be honest with you, but this is the time of year I need to be watching it. But this weekend is the Dell Match Play, and Match Play is the shit, people.
Match Play is amazing. The only way to really watch golf.
Dom's probably not going to post this until probably tomorrow.
Tomorrow, probably.
Yeah.
Unless we drunkenly post it tonight.
So today, Tiger plays Rory McIlroy, I think in the semifinals.
Yeah.
Which is going to be an electric match. So if you care about watching golf, yeah, go watch that. That'll be good. Match Play is really cool. I will say, it's not just the Masters. It's the fact that you have the Arnold Palmer, you've got the Shell Houston Open, the Dell Match Play, and then it just rolls right in. And then everybody skips the weekend before the Masters. Right. And then it's Masters week.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then basically, you know, hockey's going to roll around to where the first round of playoffs is like my first day of March Madness, except for an entire 2 weeks, to where it's just like constant games going on, to where I'm having multiple screens and I shut everything out of my life. That's my time. So I'm getting really excited for it. I will say, I'm not as excited for it as when like all the sports come back around in the fall, like I said. But
so you think Kuchar's winning it?
That's I picked him in Vegas. I think I'm gonna stick with it. I don't know. That's my argument. He's the dark horse.
That's fair.
And the villain.
I mean, I am excited. I want to see what kind of prop bets come up on Tiger, because the Tiger love train right now is in full force. Like, it is.
It always going. Is. I'll be honest.
He hit this dumbass shot.
Oh, that eagle? Or the one out of the bush?
The one out of the bush. And yeah. then he hits that eagle that I saw, and everyone is freaking out.
Right, well, yeah. I mean, Tiger can still hit shots like that, but those two shots aren't going to win. How did he get in the bush?
Yeah, because he sucks.
How did he get in the bush?
He's terrible.
It's nonsense. Like I said, there's a lock. I forgot to take it in Vegas, but I will take it online. Tiger Woods will miss the first fairway at the Masters on hole number one.
He will, no matter what.
He will miss it.
It's like, so when
he gets too pumped.
I talked to my dad the first day of March Madness. I go, "How's your bracket going?" He's like, "Ah, it's fine, I guess. I don't really know." And he watches a lot of college basketball.
Well, is he a big UNLV fan?
No, he's a Duke fan. And so the story goes, when Leitner hit his shot, he got so excited that he accidentally kicked my mom in the face.
Ooh.
Like a week before she gave birth, like real hard in the face. So that's how the story goes, is what I'm told.
So you're not a Duke fan.
I don't care about college basketball very much.
Yeah, fair enough. Maybe that's why
it's ingrained in me. But he told me, he's like, it's again like this lock. He's like, I always bet on all the 12s to beat the five seeds because I know at least one of them's going to hit.
Yeah. And if
Tiger's going to miss
play
this.
The odds. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that's my pick. I probably should put it in. I don't think they have prop bets released yet.
Not yet.
So.
Not yet.
Yeah. I'm excited. It is an exciting time of year.
All right. So sticking with the sports that matter, let's talk about hockey for a second, Matt.
Yeah. Before I get into playoffs, I want to talk about, I can't remember what stadium is, but I saw mock-ups of, they're putting I think it's New Jersey. They're putting a sports book literally next door to the entrance of the arena.
Well, it's just like how Vegas is doing automated betting machines inside of their stadium.
Ugh.
Which is again,
life's
very
incredible.
Vegas, very Vegas and New Jersey moves. You got Atlantic City,
yeah.
And you've got Las Vegas.
Well, yeah, and MGM.
Why aren't they doing it?
Yeah, MGM jumped on that partnership. MGM's kind of taken the lead on sports gambling in the professional world, because I think the NHL is the first one to really do
this one, which makes so much sense.
Because it's the sport that's betted on the least.
Exactly. But again, you're capitalizing on something that is, you know, back in the mainstream and back to be popular again, because it's not seen as such a negative and everybody hypes it up. If you go on to Fox Sports 1 or ESPN or anything like that, there are specific betting shows because of all these fantasy sports.
Yeah.
You ride that thing until it dies. And MGM did great, and hockey's going to actually increase because of it, like viewership and, you know, how much people care. Because even if you're betting on the over-under, at least you got some kind of rooting.
Yeah, you're right. You're rooting for it. And so everybody loves making money, Dom.
Exactly. Nobody likes losing money.
Yeah, so into the playoffs, the Avs are making a push. Right now, we have the goalie battle of the century, according to the Avalanche commentator of Darcy Kemper and Philip Grubauer. Ooh. Yep, you heard it. Darcy Kemper and Philip Grubauer.
Ever heard of them?
Yeah. Okay.
No, most people haven't heard of
but
them.
But it is a big game regardless. The Avs are in the eighth seed, the second wild card spot, 2 points ahead of the Coyotes, so it is a big game. Landeskog's back in the lineup. They're still missing Rantanen, but whoever gets these 2 points, if they get these 2 points, there's a good chance they can lock in that eighth seed. Granted, it's not guaranteed, but it's certainly,
I mean, it's a four-point swing.
Yeah.
So whichever way this goes.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. So
I will say that, like, you know, we did go to the Vegas Avalanche game the other day, and it was a great game. It was so much fun to watch. The goalie play wasn't the best from Vegas. But we did kind of have to mediate a fight between the people in front of us and the people behind us.
Yeah.
Which was also a great time. And then as we were getting on the train to go home, somebody overdosed in the bathroom. So
we also
had to wait to pee and make sure that person wasn't dead and wait for, like, the cops and everything to kind of escort that person out.
Nice.
So I'd say my experiences at that game were annoying and frustrating, to be fair. But you know, the Avs fans are feeling it right now. And it is really fun to be in an environment like that where it's like,
yeah,
they're getting ready for playoffs. They're excited. They're pumped. And it was a good game, you know.
That's why, regardless, I kind of want to go to a Nuggets game.
Yeah, I kind of, we should. We should kind of make that happen.
I wonder how much tickets are. I haven't looked.
I know two years ago, the Nuggets were the most expensive ticket in town because Kroenke likes to do that shit.
Well, yeah, Stan Kroenke. He needs to make his buck.
Oh, he had to pay, because at the time he was paying, and he still is paying for that stadium in L.A. for those Rams. So
yeah.
He's kind of wringing us out to dry out here.
Yeah. Well, another
thing. Speaking of Kroenke, before we continue.
Okay.
Arsenal, this is my small soccer corner here. Arsenal is coming to town, another Stan Kroenke-owned team, to play the Rapids in the Kroenke Cup is what it's loosely being called. Nobody's actually calling it that.
This guy just wants his name everywhere.
It's a meaningless game for both teams. It's a preseason game for Arsenal in the midseason of the Rapids. So that makes total sense, right? And they're also planning to do this in between two other games. So it's basically going to be on the 13th, the Rapids are playing a meaningful game. On the 15th, the Rapids are playing a dumbass game.
They're just
on the 18th, they're playing another meaningful game.
They're just going to play their bench players.
Like, and they're going to get people are going to pay so much money to go see this. And everyone's asking me, like, are you going? I'm like, no, I could give two shits. I'm going to go to the two games in between those because they're all playing in Colorado. And I'm not going to go watch the 16-year-old kids from the Rapids Academy go play and Tim Howard play for 5 minutes because it's his retirement season. So they're going to be like, oh, these are all his friends from the Premier League. When these kids that are coming to play him are, you know, they weren't even born when he was playing soccer.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's it. I'm done. Let's go back to hockey.
Yeah, Avs corner. Jeez. Or, I mean, soccer corner.
Yeah, I got a little angry in that corner.
Yeah, it's Kroenke corner.
Corner.
The Kings started winning, which is not terrifying. What I wanted to see. Yeah, three straight wins. Obviously, they get beat 8-4 on the fourth game. But
I love that text message I got. He goes, "Ooh, that's a good. That's not gonna go a good win." And they're like, "Oh, never mind. They got their ass kicked."
Yeah, like that. It's like they won three straight, and then they lost 8-4. And I'm like, "All right, well, that's the Kings I know."
There it is.
Yeah, so I'm very confident they're not. They're not gonna get the best odds. They still have a chance to get number one, but I think. I mean, watching the Ottawa Senators, it's pretty pathetic.
It's a race to the bottom. Pretty,
no, it's not a race anymore. The Ottawa Senators are at the bottom. It's pretty pathetic to watch. Yeah, you've got Brady Tkachuk cross-checking people after making empty netters. And right. Like, it's just like, it's kind of a shit show. No, the Ottawa Senators hate their owner. Their owner won't drop money on a new stadium. The stadium's 40 minutes outside of town, so nobody wants to go to the games. And so this new stadium fell through after 3 years of it being in the works.
Right.
And it literally falls through because this guy doesn't want to pay the money for it.
I saw this, you know, the game was on before. It was like on a live look-in for NHL Network. And it was Ottawa against the Panthers.
That's the game where he got cross-checked. After the
empty netter. There was nobody in the stands.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean,
a single person.
When they made their run back in 2015 or was it
still had Carlson?
Yeah, they had Carlson and everybody and
made to the final.
Yeah, and they couldn't even sell out their arena for a playoff game. And so it's like, clearly that's a problem because there's Senators fans, like there's lots of Senators fans, but if you're going to jack up the ticket prices and then force them to travel 40 minutes outside of town and then charge $15 for beers, it's just like nobody's going to want to go do that. And so either way, it's good
for the
average.
How long it takes for somebody to ride a moose in Canada, 40 minutes outside of town?
Well, then it becomes a 3-hour journey.
Yeah.
Unless you piss off that moose and get them moving quick. Either way, it's good for the Avalanche because the Avalanche get that pick from the Ottawa Senators. After Brady Tkachuk cross-checked Uber to all I thought was like, I think he just realized that they don't get the number one pick next year. Like, they don't get a top five pick who... Like, Duchesne's not even there anymore.
No.
Duchesne's in Columbus.
They got nothing.
Yeah.
They're just all pissed off.
Yeah. I think all the players are just like, wow, the management really fucked us here. So, yeah, with the whole Mike Hoffman thing and shipping him to San Jose, and San Jose turns him around to clear cap space and gives him to Florida, and then they take Carlson.
It's just like... It's like had their pants down the entire time.
You might as well just bend over and spread your cheeks. Like, let the other GMs just tee off on you.
Hey, so the reason why the people behind us at the hockey game kind of got in a fight with the people in front of us is because there was a fight in the corner. And the people behind us were drunk and belligerent and yelled, "Rape his wife," which was a little aggressive, to be fair. But the people in front of us were like, hey, we got kids here. And I was like, yeah, that's a fair point. I turned around. I was like, maybe you should calm it down. And then they started yelling, and it just kind of escalated. Then I realized the kids that they were talking about were 20 and 21. Like, they were drinking, you know?
I mean, there's still kids there, though.
Not.
It's definitely not something you yell in a public environment on a normal occasion.
You're right. But then the douchebag in front of us claiming that it's for the sanctity of, like, everything. And I'm like, no, fuck off.
Your kids are drinking.
You're right. They can get over it.
You're both in the wrong.
I agree with you here. Yeah, you probably shouldn't have yelled that. But that was it. I'm sorry.
They're both wrong.
Rape his wife. Unnecessary. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Hockey fans, dude.
It was rough.
San Jose. Speaking of San Jose, their woes. They're actually not playing well. They've lost seven straight going to these playoffs. And it's big jumbo Joe Thornton's. You know, it's not a, like I said last time, it's not his, you know, last dance, but it's certainly coming to a close here pretty soon. And Martin Jones is not performing. He has the worst save percentage in the league, respectively. And, you know, if they just had that rock on the back end, they're favorites. Like, granted, they're not guaranteed to win the Cup. If he can get hot in these next five games, watch out for San Jose, but I think San Jose could be out early.
Well, the odds are all Vegas needs to do tonight and what they've needed to do for the last three games is just go to overtime.
Yeah.
And they're in. And with that being said, they're going to play San Jose no matter what in this first round. Because
I think you guys are going to knock them out.
Even if they move up, they're still playing San Jose. No, like 2 and 3, they're going to play each other.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I don't know, maybe they do knock them out, but it's still one of those things that San Jose is a scary team and you can't just look at recent form on that because there are a lot of teams now that are looking at it. They're like, yeah, well, we're in.
Yeah. I mean,
they're clinched no matter what they're making playoffs.
The craziest thing is they were fighting for that,
number one
spot against Calgary. And like, they literally just tailed off straight seven games, which is just, cause it is like, I wouldn't want to play Vegas in the first round. You saw what they did to LA. Bring out the brooms. You know, I can easily see that. I don't think it'll be a sweep because San Jose's got a much stronger team than LA did last year. But I don't think San Jose's going to – it's going to be tough. But if Martin Jones doesn't show up, then Vegas is going to roll. And then I read an article today saying St. Louis goes from one of the last spots. They were last place, and now they're fighting for the Central Division because Winnipeg and Nashville – it's the same thing as last year. They're just beating the shit out of each other, and so they're just tired. We'll see. It's going to be interesting. That's a shame because you've got two powerhouse teams in the same division that just beat the shit out of each other, and then eventually they just disintegrate.
Yeah. It happens every year. It happens every year, and it's funny because it's like one of those things where I want Nashville to be good. I think they're a cool – like they're such a cool environment. They're such a cool club. They're such – like their fans are fun. They drink beer out of Catfish. Like it's a great time.
Yeah.
But the problem is once they actually get to like where games matter, they're just so worn down that it doesn't matter. Like, I don't fear St. Louis or Nashville or Winnipeg. I don't. But I am scared of Calgary. I'm scared of San Jose. I'm scared they'll figure it out. But I'm not scared of the other three teams in that.
I don't know. There's certain teams that are built to win now. And there's four teams in the West that are built to win right now that could actually make it through this Cup run. And granted, you have to get all the bounces. You have to have the luck. And I think those four teams are San Jose, Vegas, Winnipeg, and Nashville. I really do think, and a lot of it comes down to goaltending. So if Martin Jones can be a wall, they've got the team to go. Vegas has got the team to go. They've got Fleury. He's shown what he can do. They went last year. They've got the experience. Granted, they shipped off a few key parts from last year, but
they replaced. Yeah,
but the experience as a team isn't there again.
Right.
That's my point. And then Nashville and Winnipeg, they both been there. And, you know, they've both
is a fucking stud.
They've both only gotten stronger. Yeah, but he's got to perform in playoffs. If he doesn't perform in playoffs, he's going to
hit the whole, you know,
his career's already got this asterisk next to it. The fact, same like Bobrovsky in Columbus, they've got this asterisk next to it. The fact they can't win in playoffs.
That's how Holtby was until he won the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, he could win a couple series though. I mean, Nashville did get to the finals, but yeah, I don't know. It's, but those are always like disappointing.
Too bad they don't have somebody like Grubauer or Kemper.
Oh my God.
Goalkeeping battle of the ages.
Well, let's not get into Vegas's backup story here.
Hey, he's
if something happens to Fleury, he gets lit up and you have to put Subban in there. It's like, you might as well just forfeit the series.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I will say, I think Calgary can keep it together, but I think they're too young of a team to go the distance. I think they can get to a second round. I think they might lose in the second, maybe get to the conference final.
They'd be terrifying though in 2 years.
Yeah, I think the inexperience is going to catch up to them though, because they rally around Matthew Tkachuk a lot, and I think Matthew Tkachuk might do something stupid in playoffs and swing momentum the other way to another team, because that's the kind of player he is.
That's fair.
Like he swings momentum Calgary's way, but he also, I feel like, lets his emotions get the best of him sometimes. And I think he might do something stupid that might give another team an advantage and thus shift the series. That's my guess.
I was talking to somebody the other day. There's this guy that comes in all the time. And once he found out that I somewhat follow hockey, all he fucking talks about is hockey, which is fine. He's a nice guy. But he brought up Carolina the other day and he asked me how I honestly felt about them.
Yeah, I had that on here.
Yeah. Don't think I like it.
No,
I don't think I do. I don't mind the surge, but here's the thing, is once things like ESPN, both in Canada and the United States, found out about the surge, that's literally the only hockey thing they talk about now.
Well, yeah, of course, but that's blaming ESPN. You can't blame Carolina for that.
No,
Carolina, enjoy having fun. I think Justin Williams, the captain, is leading it. And I don't know where he gets the idea from, or, you know.
The Duck Hunt one was kind of fun. I thought that was interesting.
I mean, we talked about the whole Don Cherry rant. Like, let the guys have some fun. It's strong. Dude, the whole building is sticking around for after games.
I can't get upset about it because, again, Las Vegas is a spectacle.
Yeah, I was going to.
It's the exact same thing.
I think they've taken a note out of Vegas' book. Like, hey, if we want to drive fans, like, we got to do something different. Yeah, we got to do something different here.
And I enjoy that part of it. And I enjoy the, like, how genuine it is, because it is coming from them. It's not something that seems forced from the outside. I just don't like how the outside has taken it and run with it.
I think a big part of it is the fact that Carolina has been flirted with, you know, moving.
Yeah. They're the one team where you're like,
they probably could move. Like, and Phoenix has always been there, but Phoenix has a solid following. It's just that's another stadium that's kind of, you know, not where the people live. Right. And granted, it's just in a different area. But
you have to do things like this to actually create a bigger, better fan base, so that way the people stay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's you're right. People are staying the extra 15 minutes after games just to watch a dumb celebration.
People are buying jerseys.
Yeah.
Like, people are becoming fans. Like, it's working. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you can't get mad at it. Like, hate it all you want. Like, it's non-traditional, whatever. It's like, it's
great. Again, that's why I don't like baseball.
Let's see what happens in the playoffs. Yeah. I'm anxious to see where they take this. Because, again, I'm talking about giving the other team an advantage in NHL playoff season. You give anybody any advantage, it's, you know, you're gonna regret it. And I think that is, like, they call it bulletin board material.
Yeah, no, definitely. But again, when I think about it from, you know, you look at how every playoff series Vegas did something special before the start of the game, and it involved the other team, and it was a knight skating out and battling against a mascot from the other team. How is that any different? Like, maybe the team was better prepared to handle that, or maybe it was just like, we don't care.
I think it's the fact that the players are participating,
and that's
what I think that's a big part of why people are just like, and it's after they win, it's not like a we're going to battle type of thing. And it's classic homerism. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. I mean, it's like playing Cartman on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, here.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. It's like, it's the same thing. Like, exactly. It's Homerism. It is what it is. So you can't really get too mad at it. My problem with the Vegas thing was the fact that they televised the entire thing.
Oh,
and
my God,
every series, every it was time. The same thing.
Yeah.
Like, games one and two were the same show. I don't need to watch the same show one night after the other.
Vegas always has. Like, when you go to a Las Vegas show, you don't go two nights in a row. Like, I'm not going to go see Cirque du Soleil two times.
That was
I know it's the same show. I know it is.
I think that was my only problem. I mean, I was sour last season. Of course I was. I was like, fuck the Knights. I still am fuck the Knights. It's just like, I say that's fucking bullshit. I hate the pregame, but like, you guys have fans hating your team.
Yeah. And
that's awesome. That's awesome.
And just like Carolina now, you know, we honestly, I don't think cared too much about Carolina. I couldn't care less about their existence and I still don't, but it is kind of fun when you see it and you're like, it's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
It is kind of annoying.
Motherfuckers.
I don't want to get beat by you.
You motherfuckers.
I don't want to get beat by you.
Yeah.
And that's how it is.
Yeah. It's a mental edge.
Good for them.
If it pisses off another fan base, so be it. Who cares? It's part of the game. It's the fun side of things.
So who makes it in?
Well, the last thing I want to talk about is the Blue Jackets.
Oh yeah, Columbus.
I believe it's Carolina. Oddly enough, in Montreal, they're all within a point of each other, so they're kind of just teeter tottering for the last two spots. Those three teams, and Columbus. You know, we talked about, you know, they were going to ship off Panarin and Bobrovsky because they're not going to stick around through the summer. There's no way Columbus is going to be able to put together an enticing enough offer.
Especially after paying like Duchesne.
I don't care how much money you paid these kids. They don't want to be in Columbus.
It's true.
They want to be on a beach. They want to be in a high-profile town. They want to spend a lot of money. They're Russians.
You could do all that stuff in Las Vegas.
Fuck you. They're both coming to L.A. I'd say Panera comes to L.A. Bobrovsky goes to Florida to take over from Lou and
yeah, makes sense.
And James Ryan. Well, I don't even know who the other goalie is. See, I need cable people.
Yeah,
it's Florida Panthers. I don't know who their goalie is. Is it James Reimer?
I don't know. I don't watch Florida.
Yeah. Either way, Florida. They decided not to trade these guys, and they acquired rather than dealt, and they picked up. You know, obviously they picked up Matt Duchesne and. They said, fuck it, we're going to make a run. And now they're in danger of missing the playoffs.
Right.
And so they should have traded. Well, not should have, but they had the opportunity to trade off these pieces and acquire some assets for the off season and do a small rebuild because, you know, these two guys aren't going to come back and it's not really an unknown thing. And so we'll see what happens. But if they miss the playoffs, Columbus is in for it. They're going to
almost have like, they're going to go from, not to be rude, but like a king situation where you're like, hey, they're kind of good. They're flirting with it. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, you're battling for, oh, not even. Then we're going to be more like Ottawa where you're like, ooh, you got all these pieces, but they all suck.
Yeah. And it's just a dangerous spot to be right now for Columbus. So they don't make the playoffs. I mean, either way, they're going to lose Panarin and Bobrovsky in the summertime. They need to make the playoffs to make their fans happy. If they don't, it's going to be a disaster. I don't know. Torts could get fired. The general manager could get fired. They could clean house if they don't make the playoffs.
Did you see Torts in the locker room the other day? Just fired up. And then after he yells at their team, they come back and win it.
I hate every time Torts gets fired because he is one of the personalities that the NHL needs.
He's so electric. Like when I watched the video, I was pumped.
Yeah.
And I was like, from the outside, he seems like a great coach. I don't know why he would get fired from
I look at guys like Daryl Sutter, too. You look at these character coaches, Ken Hitchcock, like these guys that are just very unique. But then you have guys like Mike Sullivan with Pittsburgh, who's very bland and granted to the media. Like, I'm sure he's in his personal life, he's not like that. But then you have like the Colorado coach, Jared Bednar. Those two, they might as well be twins.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here like,
you don't notice them.
It's just, it's very bland. It's very just, okay, I'll answer your questions. It's no, like, I love Torts. I love Daryl Sutter where there's sarcasm. It's just, it was a show. It's almost like a WWE interview. It's hilarious.
It's like
Bill Belichick interview.
What? Where
they're talking about the Patriots and things like that. And he just looks at the reporter and goes, it's March.
Yeah. That's what you need. That's
go on vacation,
love.
Dude.
That's what I love in coaches, because they're the people that you could tell, like, they're so fed up with the answers, they're not going to take the question seriously, and they're like,
they're just fed up with the questions because they're just dumb. Are you asking this right now?
It's stupid.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, who's going to make it? You know, it would be such a shame to see Columbus not make it.
They're going to get bounced in the first round. If they make it in.
I don't know. I kind of want to see them not make it just to see what happens, because I want to see Carolina in the playoffs, and I want to see Montreal in the playoffs, because Montreal in the playoffs is exciting.
I would like to see Carolina. After we talked about it, I'd like to see Carolina.
I want to see what happens.
I want to see somebody get their head blown off, because, like, they celebrate after that first win and then just get taken out.
I think there's too much on the line for Columbus that they'll squeak in, and I think Carolina will take that other spot, and Montreal will not make it. That's my prediction. I don't know who's playing who. That's kind of up for debate. The Islanders are 3 points behind Washington from the Metro, Pittsburgh 2 behind them, and then Tampa's obviously, nobody can find Tampa. Yeah, they're so far ahead.
Somewhere in Florida, I'm pretty sure.
Boston is 19 points behind Tampa Bay, and they're in 103 points.
They are playing lights out right now.
They are second in the East, and they're 19 points behind Tampa Bay.
That's stupid. It's
unbelievable. I don't
think they win.
Tampa Bay, if they win the last three of their five games, they break the record for most wins in a season.
But I also don't think they win the cup this year.
I don't know, dude. I think it's a different situation than last year, because it's very similar. I think they won the President's Trophy last year.
They are terrifyingly good, and I get that, but it's something that's, I don't know. It's just like, to me, when the Warriors went and they have their record-breaking season, or when the Patriots are going undefeated and they just somehow, some way find a way to lose.
Well, that's the thing everybody's talking about, is at some point they're going to have to play Boston, I think. Yes. Because it's going to be Boston-Toronto in the first round, which is always an awesome series. It's funny, because anytime you put Boston up against any of these teams in the East, you're like, Boston's going to win.
Right.
They always have.
Right.
They always have. They have Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, Tuukka Rask, Daniel Chara, Charlie McAvoy. I'm missing more. I mean, there's a bunch more.
But it's like, you know, or you just feel that deep inside.
Yeah, and they have so much experience. So much experience.
They're there every year.
Yeah, so, but Tampa Bay's due. I think in the next year or a couple of years, Toronto could do it, but I don't think they're at that point yet where they're going to be able to beat Boston or Tampa Bay in the playoffs. So we'll see what happens there. And in the West, I think the Avs get in. I think they win this game.
If they win this game, I have no doubt in my mind. And Minnesota loses tonight, I have no doubt in my mind that the Avs make it in.
Yeah, I think that would, I wouldn't say seal it, but with four games left after that, you're right, it's a 4-point swing. We talked about that. So
the only thing that is going against the Avalanche right now is that Malcolm Subban is in net again, so the Wild might beat Vegas tonight. So they might try to keep.
Who knows? Minnesota's always good at sticking their foot in their mouth, so they're always good at doing that. So we'll see what happens. I think it stays. I don't know who's going to win the division. It's a toss-up. Winnipeg's got four games with Nashville at three, and they're tied for that central division. But St. Louis has been playing well, and Winnipeg and Nashville have been losing a lot lately.
I do think that the Pacific is set. I honestly think that the Central's set, and really all it comes down to in the West are those wild card spots between those four teams. And it's really only the three teams.
Yeah, I think the East is really up, the only one up for debate now, so... Playoffs are around the corner.
Playoffs?
Absolutely.
Matt, I want to talk about some obscure sports for a second.
Yeah.
So after the U.S. friendly, the U.S. international game that was on the 26th, we were watching that. It was a great, great first half. The second half was boring as hell. It was a great first half. And after that on ESPN was... competitive rock climbing, and so we were like, all right, well, we were gonna get up and go do something else, but we got sucked in as a family to watch this thing, and it was shockingly good. And then during the thing, my knowledge of obscure sports, I didn't realize ran so deep, because they had multiple people in this thing who I have seen and competed with doing local Ninja Warrior competitions. Whoa. Who are also these, you know, no big deal, nothing. But what's going on?
I don't know.
Okay. But basically, these people were like competitive rock climbers before, and I just happened to do other events with them. As the thing goes on, they keep posting things on the screen talking about how they're trying to make this an Olympic sport. So the next day, I go look at it, and it's up for bid for the next Summer Olympics for competitive rock climbing. So I think, just like years ago when I said I was going to be a soccer hooligan, I'm going to commit myself to learning everything about rock climbing, so that way I'm the only expert when the Summer Olympics comes around.
I like that.
Right?
I think it's way better than the fact that they're putting like e-games into the Olympics.
Stupid. That's dumb.
Athletes.
That's dumb.
Give me more hot packets. Pizza rolls. Mom!
Do you dip your pizza rolls in something, or do you eat them straight up?
Well, both.
Ranch?
Yeah.
Barbecue sauce?
All of the above.
Okay.
And none. Like, let's just...
How much Mountain Dew do you think would be consumed at the E Olympics?
Oh, my God. I bet you Red Bull's the sponsor.
Has to be.
Yeah, I'm sure Red Bull. Well, I don't know. I don't know how sponsors go for the Olympics. I don't think they have little sponsors like that.
No, but like the individual athletes could be.
That's true. Man, can you believe what the uniforms are going to look like for that?
Sick.
I hope they're cutoffs.
I'd be wearing little shorts.
That'd some be fuck great. Me shirts?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Team
definitely.
USA.
That I might be changing my idea on if I want the Summer Olympics or not.
No. I don't. I think I wish they would do it 1 year and then immediately take it away, just so we could see what it would be like.
This, because we were talking about how, I don't know if you remember, but in the Winter Olympics, there's that girl from London where she, which, you know, the English don't generally compete in the Winter Olympics. But there was the like half pipe, the women's half pipe, and she got in it and decided to just go slowly up and down the half pipe. Didn't make any jumps, but just because she was the only one who tried out. So she's like, all right, well, I guess I'm in the Olympics.
That's hilarious.
I'd want to go claim some small country somewhere as a competitive rock climber.
Like how people like, I was born in Morocco, but I've lived in the United States for 3 months.
Right.
I'm going to play for Team USA.
Right. Exactly. Like, I believe that if I find some tiny ass country and go live there for a little bit, I can go get.
And here we have Nostradamus representing Zambia.
Exactly. I think it's doable. So I'm committing myself to learning this obscure sport. Hey, awesome. Minnesota just scored against Subban.
Oh, shocking. My obscure sport, you know, we haven't recorded in a little bit, and this was kind of a popular thing. But
for 20 minutes.
Yeah, for 20 minutes it was. Because there was some Chinese man that paid $1.4 billion for a pigeon. Yes. $1.4 million US dollars. Doesn't
make it any less ridiculous.
And then multiply that, do the exchange rate. I can't even count that high in yen. I don't. Is yen is yen Chinese or is that Japanese?
Yen? I don't know.
I think Japanese is yen. Who knows? I don't know what those Mandarin people use. Either way, $1.4 million for a pigeon because it's a racing pigeon and they literally just track them. Long distance racing pigeon, like carrier pigeons, and they just track how long from point A to point B as the pigeon flies, I should say. So it's pretty ridiculous. I probably won't keep up with it, but I just wanted to inform everybody that there is competitive pigeon racing because I had to look twice when I saw that somebody bought a competitive racing pigeon for $1.4 million. But there must be a lot of money in this sport. If you're paying that much money for a competitive racing pigeon, that must be like horses here in the United States.
You know, the ridiculous thing is like, I didn't think twice about it. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, wow, that must be really... buff pigeon. Like I didn't think about the logistics of anything or the fact that somebody pays this much money and they won't pay that much money for like a horse.
I wish they could have it in a stadium. Like I imagine it would be like Quidditch,
Exactly. Like, they're flying through rings.
They're flying around everywhere. And or it's like the drone racing.
Yeah.
Where they have to go through the concourse and things like that. That's what I imagine. But I think it's
totally not.
I think it's just so boring. Like, you just like, I mean, I don't know how far away these people are. I should probably have done more research. Like I say, I don't do a lot of research here, people. But what if it was like a half a mile? So they let him go and they're like, yeah,
that's what it is.
Just let him go. No, they said they put RFID tags on him now. So it's literally like exactly timed.
Right. No, I understand that. But it's not like a quick jaunt around the stadium. It is, we're going to let him go here and then 10 miles down the road. That's
like, it's like it's a marathon. Like, yeah, Mary just started the race. I'm probably leaving him like 3 hours.
That's exactly.
Meet him at the finish line.
And somebody paid $1.4 million for this thing. It's like the most boring sport I think I can ever imagine.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're like,
No, that's not him. That's a normal pigeon.
Shit. He just landed on a wire.
What happens if like that's the pigeon that my dog catches in the backyard?
What if it was like a pack of pigeons, like it was a horse race and they're all just bunched up, and all of a sudden you see this one pigeon just shouldering other pigeons out of the way and knocking them out of the sky?
Now I'm just,
we gotta go see some pigeon racing, dude.
All right, so we're gonna start the Mile High Pigeon Racing Club.
Like I said, I'm probably not gonna keep up with it, but we should.
No, Mile High Pigeon Racing Club, we're calling it now.
Pigeons just have so many diseases that, like, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to own a pigeon.
No, I don't either. But I want to start it so that way I can laugh at people who want to do this. See what I'm saying here?
It's to scam some people.
So what we'll do is we'll charge entry fees. We'll get sponsors, and then everybody else will bring their own pigeons. BYOP. And then
BYOP.
And then we'll just see how it goes. We'll let them loose in like City Park or whatever and see how many actually come back.
I hope people send us videos of them trying to catch pigeons.
Oh, I'm,
because that would be the best part. Is how are you going about acquiring this pigeon, and how are you training the pigeon? How do you train a carrier pigeon? This is becoming more complex than I could have ever imagined.
I imagine a little piece of like string attached to its like foot, and you just let it go far enough and just yank it back.
I love how like, I mean, I'm literally comparing this to horse racing, where you have trainers and you have owners.
Because you know, there's no
way. Yeah, there's no way these owners are training, because clearly he's buying a pigeon that knows how to do this.
I read that this.
So I'd love to meet. I picture like a Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that would be a pigeon trainer.
100%. 100%. That's exactly
like that's who I'm gonna meet if I ever meet a pigeon trainer for racing. And these pigeon owners, they literally have to spend so much money, and they hire this trainer to train their pigeons. It's absurdity, dude. This is insane.
Next week, we'll send out some email details on Mile High Pigeon Club.
We send out emails?
No, but I will for Mile High Pigeon Racing Club.
Oh, okay.
You kidding me?
It's like, everybody, we have a newsletter?
We don't, but we should if we're racing pigeons. I think that's enough.
All right.
I think we'll leave here with the pigeon racing.
Yeah.
Is that
but,
it? Is that
well, we got to play our favorite song.
Yeah, no, that'll happen.
Okay. All right.
Well, bye, guys.
See you later.
No one knows the words of the song.
I mean, it's in the title, Bob. That's all you need to know. And then ba, ba, ba.
Ba, ba, ba.
Which, people from Boston are great at making that noise. It's most of their language.
That's everything.
I can't begin to knowing. But then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed?